KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
It's sunny and 69 degrees in Atlantic. We look forward to be sunny and breezy today. A warm one, a high near 92. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. And the news is brought to you this hour by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating at Fontenelle, your Trane home comfort specialist dealer. Well, the latest USDA crop report shows continued problems last week with wet weather slowing planting in southwest and south central Iowa. This is a critical week for southwest Iowa, which has lagged behind the rest of the state most of the spring as the calendar days continue to pass. Iowa State University Extension agronomist Aaron Soigling monitors 14 counties in the southwest corner of the state where wet weather has put them behind.
The majority of all the corn is in southwest Iowa. Soybean planting lags behind where we would like to be at this time of year. There's still portions of southwest Iowa that have over half or 50% of the beans to be planted yet.
The forecast is calling for some warm and dry days that farmers have been needing.
We're optimistic that this week is going to provide us the break that we need that we just simply did not get the entire month of May for planting soybeans.
Soigling says the delay in planting beans is forcing some farmers to make crop management changes.
I may increase my plant population. I'd like to narrow up the row. And because what I need to do now as a soybean producer is I need to maximize my days. So how I can do that is have simply more soybeans covering the ground. For A, weed control, B, I have to maximize yield. Corn at this point, I would probably be a little bit more panicked if I didn't have my corn in.
Soybean planting reached 88% complete, and that's 9 days behind 2014 and 1 day behind average. The crop report shows 96% of the corn crop has emerged, which is 4 days ahead of the five-year average. Governor Terry Branstad says the legislature's failure to decide how much state aid Iowa's public schools will get for 2016-17 school year is a disappointment. When pressed by reporters Monday morning, Branstad wouldn't rule out calling lawmakers back into Des Moines for a special session to make the decision.
I'm not going to speculate. You all can speculate all you want to, but I'm going to just wait until I receive the bills, and then I'm going to carefully review and consider all of the options and try to choose the course of action I think that makes the most sense.
The 2015 legislative session ended Friday, and legislators approved a 1.25% increase in general state aid for the school year that starts this fall. Plus, lawmakers voted to give schools a one-time allotment of $55 million. Branstad says that's bad budgeting. He may use his item veto authority to reject that additional $55 million for schools.
I don't like the idea of one-time money. The problem with one-time money is you really can't use it for salaries because it's not going to be there the next year.
Branstad has until July the 4th to make decisions on the bills legislators passed this year. He says just because the legislature has gone home doesn't mean he should stop thinking about new approaches and compromises that might be passed in a special legislative session this summer or fall.
I've heard from schools and I've heard from Iowans that they don't like this constant fight, that they want us to come together and they want us to work to do within what's fiscally possible, what's financially responsible under the economic conditions that exist, but they want us to resolve these things in a way that provides stability and predictability. And that's what I'm going to try to do is review everything and determine what's the best course of action under the circumstances.
The legislature also voted to keep the state-run Mental Health Institute in Clarinda open until mid-December and the MHI in Mount Pleasant open until next June. Branstad's not saying whether he'll accept that.
I'm not going to speculate on this until I have a chance to carefully review and analyze how it all fits together. I'm going to look at the entire budget and what is sustainable over the long term.
Critics of Branstad's move to close the two MHIs say there aren't enough services available for mentally ill Iowans today, and the closures make the problems worse. The Clarinda facility has housed elderly patients who are too frail or aggressive to be cared for in private facilities. A few are convicted sex offenders, and private nursing homes have been reluctant to accept them as patients. Elsewhere in area news, Audubon County Sheriff Todd Johnson said yesterday an investigation into two separate incidents that took place in the 2100 and 2200 blocks of 300th Street on May the 26th has resulted in the arrest of 35-year-old Christopher Matthew Anderson of Elkhorn. Anderson was taken into custody with the help of deputies from Shelby County at around 11 p.m. Sunday. He was arrested on an outstanding Audubon County warrant for operating a motor vehicle without the owner's consent, trespassing, and theft in the fifth degree. Anderson was booked into the Audubon County Jail and held on $2,000 bond. The Creston Police Department reports the arrest on Monday evening of 29-year-old Charles Michael Kirkman of Creston, who was taken into custody for assault domestic abuse. He was being held in the Union County Jail until an initial appearance with the magistrate. No bond was set. And around 5 a.m. today, 36-year-old Larry William Jordan of Creston was arrested on a Union County warrant for violation of probation. Jordan was being held in the Union County Jail until appearing before the magistrate. Again, no bond was set. Two people were arrested last week on drug charges south of Malvern, while a third person was picked up on a warrant. The Mills County Sheriff's Office reports 20-year-old David Jesse McConaughey of Thurman, 21-year-old Shelby Lynn Kahn of Glenwood, and 21-year-old Dakota David Kempton of Glenwood were taken into custody at around 10:45 p.m. Friday near the intersection of Marr Avenue and 315th Street. McConaughey faces charges that include possession of contraband, possession of controlled substance, and possession of drug paraphernalia. His bond was set at $6,300. Kahn was charged with unlawful possession of a prescription drug. Her bond was $1,000. And Kempton, who was wanted on a warrant for domestic abuse assault, was being held in Mills County Jail on $1,000 bond. Arrested at a separate time and location last Friday was 23-year-old Tanner Michael Schoening of Glenwood, who was wanted on a warrant for violation of probation. His bond was set at $1,000. Saturday evening, Mills County deputies arrested 33-year-old Melissa Sue Alley and 43-year-old Brett Phillip Samuelson, both from Randolph. The pair were charged with providing false identification information. Alley was also charged with driving under suspension and speeding. Her bond was $600. Samuelson's bond was set at $300. And four people were arrested Sunday in Mills County on various charges, including 29-year-old Brandy Strange of Randolph and 30-year-old Jacob Gill of Farragut, both of whom were charged with public intoxication. 38-year-old Michael Carver of Omaha was arrested Sunday for driving under suspension and speeding. And 33-year-old Joshua Morrison of Glenwood was arrested on a warrant for violating the terms of his probation. Our news report brought to you by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a train. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.